Okay, if you are with us for the first time, if you're visiting, then you are very welcome this morning. I just want to encourage you, church. There were a couple of really key words that were shared for us this morning. And as I often say, let's not quench the spirit by despising prophecy or resisting the word of the Lord. Whether that's the preached word, whether that is the prophetic word, ultimately it's God speaking, whether it's through writing on a page, whether it's through his spirit, which is what the prophetic is. So those words that came this morning, let's hold on to them. Let's not take them lightly this morning. So if you need to respond to that, whether it's today or tomorrow, please don't stay in the dark. Please step out of the hiding. God is calling you out of hiding, out of the darkness, into the light. When God called out Adam, where are you? He was calling him out of hiding, out of shame, and into light where there is freedom. So please respond to that word. Find somebody who can pray with you, stand with you, encourage you in this. And allow the grace that we heard about this morning, allow the grace of God, the all-sufficient grace of God to break into your life this morning. Amen. Good. Andrew, could you come and pray for Steve, please?
Yeah, Lord God, I want to pray for Steve, your faithful servant, Steve, this morning. As he brings the word, the message you've laid upon his heart, I pray you would anoint him afresh as he comes up to speak, Lord God. And I pray, as I prayed already this morning for him, that his word, that your word, Lord God, will pierce our hearts, would separate bone and marrow, Lord God, and pierce us and convict us and bring us to a place of freedom, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. It's been a great week. We've had a fantastic time of having the conference and various visitors with us, and many of them now have gone back, and but it's just been great to see the deposit that God has laid here in the church. And this next week is going to be an exciting one, because we are welcoming, well, we're beginning a series of three sessions where we're going to be working with and inviting 9 new members into the church. So that's really exciting. We're going to take the next few weeks just to talk about our vision and values, getting to know people. The first evening is so great because we just have a meal together and we share our testimonies, just how God led us to know him. And it's such a beautiful time of just sharing together the goodness of God. So that's really a wonderful sign of life and health that God is adding to our number. And we look forward in a few weeks to be publicly welcoming them in as church members to CLC. This morning, we're going to continue in our series called Life to the Full. And I want to read some verses from Revelation. And the title of the message this morning is See Jesus. Today, we were singing about King Jesus. And that is truly who Jesus is. He is King Jesus. You know, it's amazing that we can actually make Jesus so many different things to actually in some way fit into our own theology. Some of us want him as a savior, just to save us from our sins. Some of us just want him Lord, to tell us what to do. But he is so many. He's all of those things, but he's even more. And John has a revelation of Jesus that I want us to look at this morning. And this revelation that he had wasn't just for 2,000 years ago. This is the picture of who Jesus is right now, today. This is your Jesus that we are going to look at today. And this is the Jesus that we come to worship. And you know, if we can continually have this picture of who Jesus is, that's going to be a key to breakthrough in living life to the full. So I want to just read the first from verse 9 to 20 of Revelation chapter 1. And it says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation. Have we got that up there? I could read it if it's not up there. Just read it. I did give them to you, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Okay. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And look what you see. Write a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira. I've been practicing that. Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And when I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were like white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as refined in a furnace, and his voice as in the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I should think we would if we had an encounter seeing Jesus like that. And when I saw him, I fell at dead as his feet. But he laid his right hand upon me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven gold lampstands. And the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Wow, that's an encounter and a half, isn't it? Can you imagine? And, you know, just as I was saying, this is not a Jesus for John back there. This is the Jesus that we, this is our God. This isn't Jesus as a little tiny baby in a manger. This is what we've been singing about, Jesus, King Jesus. And that is who we worship. And, you know, John is writing, he knew Jesus. He knew him well. He had walked with him. Actually, there were some of the most significant times in Jesus' life, John was with him. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there at the crucifixion. He was there when Jesus rose from the dead. But so he knew him really, really well. But now he encounters Jesus, an even further revelation of who Jesus is. Not just the Jesus that he knew walking upon the earth, but now this is the risen, glorified, eternal, powerful, glorious, supernatural Jesus, the one that we worship. There's no limits to him. And, sometimes we struggle, we go through challenges and difficulties, but guys, I want to encourage you, fix your eyes upon who Jesus really is. Not a man-made impression of who he is, not the impression that you have come to because of, you know, life has clouded your impression of who he is. But let's go back to the Word of God and let's see who Jesus is. He's undefeatable. There is nothing that he cannot do. Help this man come in because he's struggling with the front door. Shake his hand, drag him in. Welcome, come in. Sit down, feel free. So in Revelation 1, verse 9, it says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So this is how he introduces himself. How would you introduce yourself? Would you introduce yourself like that? A companion in the suffering and patient endurance in Jesus. That's quite a title, isn't it? And, you know, we have a view, and there is an element that God does want us to live in success and comfort. But what about the times where we follow Jesus through suffering and we follow him through endurance? Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes life is hard. But you know, there is a muscle that needs to be worked, that endurance muscle. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to continue. I'm going to press in because I know that my God is good. And you know, sometimes we need to have resilience, don't we? We need to have that sense of I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what, because actually there's nowhere else to go and nobody else to turn to. So, you know, even when we're going through difficulties and problems, you know what? Jesus is top prize. He is top prize. When times are hard and difficult, it's a joy to know Jesus. It's a privilege. It's the best. We are so blessed. Even when times are hard, difficult, and it just feels like we're wading through treacle, if you know Jesus, that's top prize. You've received him. And yeah, come on. And so I know it's not always easy, but let's keep our eyes focused upon Jesus. Let's worship him. You know, Ewan gave a great preach about what worship is and our heart, having our heart right to worship God. Let's worship Jesus for who he is. You know, there was suffering in the time that this was written. Some of the Roman emperors would declare themselves as God. And they would say, if you are not prepared to bow down and worship me, then you're going to be killed. And you can go to Rome and you can go to other places in the world and you can see the Colosseums and you can see the places where Christians were taken and they were thrown to the lions and they were burned. Why? Because they would not renounce who Jesus was. These fearless, courageous Christians would not deny Jesus. They died for their faith. And actually we know, don't we, that so many people in the world are still doing that. We hear stories of people in countries that are willing to lay down their lives and not deny Jesus. And it wasn't the kind of culture that is being trying to be forced upon us, which is, you know, always lead to God and just go with the flow. That isn't what I see represented in the New Testament church. It wasn't an attitude of let's sit down together and discuss our differences and see what we can learn from each other. And let's just mash it up all so that we can just come to a conclusion where actually none of us believe anything or stand for anything. That isn't what I see in the New Testament church. These people were people that stood up and they were fearless in saying, I'm not going to renounce who my Jesus is. And I think that call hasn't changed upon the church and for us as Christians. That we don't just mash it all up and just become this this nebulous thing that doesn't stand for anything. We have got Jesus. The Bible says that there is no other way, no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, but by Jesus. So you can't get saved through another religion or another philosophy or another way. Jesus is the only way. So the world needs to hear that. If that is truth, that is the truth. So, guys, I want to encourage you. You know, the world is just, we'll try to, you know, say, believe this thing. Well, you know, all kind of ways lead to God. Everything is just fluffy and just nice. And let's just not disagree. The Bible says that there is only one way to heaven, one way to relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. We've got a message to give to the world. So I want just to encourage you, let's not deny it, Jesus. Let's not compromise. Let's be hot, passionate, radical for Jesus. Because this is a reflection of what the New Testament church was like. And so here is John. He's banished to an island, a bit like Alcatraz. Anybody seen the film Escape from Alcatraz? Really, I'm just showing my age. Okay, one or two people. I know. Thank you, Andrew. I got there before you. I know. So he was put on, exiled to an island, and it was probably, you know, like manual labor, working in mines and quarries, and he was put there. What was he put there for? Preaching Jesus. He was put there for preaching Jesus because he wasn't prepared to compromise, to be lukewarm, to merge his ideas with the culture of the time. Let's just go with it. Let's just accept what the world is telling us, and we'll just merge it into who we are. And, you know, that this is just who we... I don't see that in the Bible. I see people that were passionate, that said, actually, there is only one way, that they're not going to have idol worship. They're not going to serve this God, that they're not going to serve the emperors. They're not just going to do the practices that society around them told them to do. No, we are Jesus followers. We are people of the way. We are people of God. And that's who God's created us to be. And the mission and the calling and the heart of God is the same for us today and for his church as it was for those people in those first believers. Guys, we have something so beautiful to share with the world. And I need you to encourage me, and I want to encourage you never to grow cold, never to become lukewarm, never to water down anything of the gospel, but to be pointing people to Jesus, always pointing people to Jesus. You know, I reckon that if John played it safe, if he didn't rock the boat, if he'd been able just to kind of, compromise a little bit with the world around him, maybe he would have led a more comfortable life, but he didn't. He preached Jesus. And as a result, he suffered. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't comfortable for him. So are we prepared to stick our neck out and to stand up for righteousness where it's needed? And sometimes when we stick our neck out, when we stand up actually for what we know to be right, there may be difficulties. People might come against us. Life may become difficult for a time. But we do it because of the name and the reputation of Jesus. And we do it actually because, as we said, there is no other hope or way other than Jesus Christ. So guys, never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Even if you fear that it may bring difficulties and trials, never be ashamed of the gospel. This world only hopes to connect with a God who forgives and is merciful, brings freedom, purpose, meaning in life. This is what the world is crying out for. And actually, we have got that message to connect them with Jesus. So let's take those God opportunities to speak to people and share the gospel, even though it can be difficult. And you know, sometimes it's through the difficult times, isn't it, that we get a revelation of who Jesus is. It's through the difficult times of challenge, of struggle, that sometimes we break out into a new revelation and understanding of who God is. And, you know, just keeping in our comfort zones, just doing the same old, just keeping things nice and easy and, not stepping out in faith and trusting God. It's those times sometimes when we step out and we trust God that God breaks through and we see God do amazing things. You know, you read that in the Bible that God or Israel saw God provide miraculously in the wilderness provision, food, water, out of nothing. It was a very, very difficult, desolate time for them. Yet in that time, God provided. They saw miracles. Just incredible. The story in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they were singing and praising God in the prison, and the earthquake shook and their chains fell off. It was difficult, it was horrible, it was probably dirty, it was a desperate situation, yet they looked to worship Jesus, and God did an amazing miracle. You know, most of the letters of Paul were written from a prison cell, not from a nice air-conditioned hotel room where everything was just chilled and easy. Room service, bring it up. Have a glass of Chardonnay with that. It wasn't like that. It was difficult. It was a challenge. I'm sure there were times where it just seemed, how is God going to bring anything good out of this? Yet God did incredible things, and God is still continuing to change the world through those teachings and those letters. Often I think we want God to perform miracles, but we don't want to take a risk. Sometimes we need to take a risk, a faith risk. Actually, I see that person in this coffee shop is crying or something. Or actually, I'm sensing a word for that person. Are you going to take a risk and go and pray? pray for them, offer to give them a word, reach out to them. We want God to save us, but sometimes we don't want there to be any sacrifice on our part. Yes, of course, God's done it all. But actually, we want everything from him sometimes. And actually, there's this wrestle. Actually following Jesus is a walk of discipleship, of laying our lives down and serving him. We want God to do everything and to pour stuff into our lives, but often we can just want to remain comfortable in our comfort zone. You've heard it said before that God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. God's interested in your character, not always just in making life easy for us. He's committed to working within us, to changing us, to transforming us, to building resilience in us, to building the character of Jesus in us, doing something in us that is going to that he can use us to then share the gospel and see the world transformed. It's not just so that we can become great people and just nicer people. Actually, what God is doing in us is for a reason and a purpose. And I hope you can see that more and more bring ourselves into submission and obedience to God. So I don't think any of us would have wanted to have found ourselves in a place like John. Anybody? In a filthy prison, on an island, feeling isolated, in exile. He's suffering there because he was a faithful servant of Jesus. Why is this happening to me? You know, I'm just doing good. I'm just serving you. Yet this has happened to me. What is interesting is actually you don't see him having that attitude at all. You see an incredible attitude as you read his account of his situation. So he's there. He's in a place of isolation. He's in desperation. But can you believe it? In that place, the Holy Spirit turns up. Wow. I think God's got a habit of doing that. When we feel at our very lowest, where we just feel, where are you, God? The Holy Spirit turns up. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. I was looking up, trying to work out how old John was, and it's somewhere between 68 years and maybe 95. I mean, that's getting on. This is an old man, but you know, he's sharp. And anybody who's seen those prison films, you know, where they like mark the walls, you know, there's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, so they can keep, you're all looking at me like I haven't got the faintest clue what you're talking about. Am I the only one that's watched Escape from Alcatraz or any, you know, have you ever, they like scrape on the wall, yeah? You know what I'm talking about. Please help me. I mean, it's very lonely up here. It's like, you know. Tally. Yes, thank you. So there he was. He is keeping an account of the dates. And he's looking at his tally and he says, today is the Lord's day. So I'm going to come and I'm going to, I mean, probably all the other prisoners had lost, maybe they weren't even worried about what day it was. Or hadn't a clue. You know, just, I was thinking actually it was a bit like that in lockdown. I think the first lockdown what is today? Is it Monday or Friday? Thursday? Anybody? There's a few people saying that they, weird. Really weird because routine, didn't it? Went out the window. But here he is. He says, on the Lord's day, I determined to meet with God. Determined to meet with God. So John made sure that he honored God and spent time with him. So we're not in a prison. We're not in a place of like he was, but are we spending time with God each day? Are we making it a priority? I was on the Lord's day. I pressed in to God, John said. So Are we doing that? Do we make it a top priority every day to make an appointment with God? Life to the full comes from encountering Jesus. It's not through drugs. It's not through other experiences that you can have. Life to the full, true life, true freedom comes through encountering Jesus. And you and last week, we spoke about worship. And, you know, I believe that worship and worshiping Jesus for who he is such a key to remaining strong, remaining encouraged. Worship that's focused on Jesus. And so the revelation of who Jesus was and is came to a man who was broken, humble, and he was thirsting for God. On that day, I was in the Lord's presence, and God reveals to him, and he reveals himself to those who seek him this way with all their heart. So I want to encourage you, you know, be like John. Let's, you know, God's given us his word, and so that we can learn and we can be inspired by people that have gone before. So here he is in a difficult situation, filthy prison, exiled. It seems like God has forsaken him. He's just been serving God, being faithful, but he gets sent to this island. And then he says, "But I on the Lord's day, he was pressing in. He was front-footed to meeting with God." Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Have you got that?
Well done.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. So, guys, I don't know where you're at. I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know what's going on in terms of your relationship with Jesus. But press into him. Press into God. Make it a priority. Not just to say a few prayers, but press into him to meet with Jesus. Be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, every day, actually. Be intentional about coming to meet with God. And as he says that I on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and he says, I heard a loud voice like a trumpet. And it was like God, suddenly he felt the presence of God. Suddenly he sensed God had come to encounter God. That God was there and that he was encountering God. And I think it probably came as a surprise. I don't think he knew that it was coming. But John had put himself in a position to hear God. He'd made, can you see that? He'd made a priority of meeting with God. And so he makes that. He positions himself, and God turns up and meets with him. Even in a place like Patmos, there was no organ. No swaying choir, no steeple, no cross on the wall. He's just in a filthy prison. Yet he positions himself to encounter God, and the Holy Spirit starts to minister and to move and to reveal who Jesus is. You can experience God's presence and hear his voice wherever you are, in whatever situation you find yourself in. But I think it's more to do with heart position, isn't it, than actually position of location. So let's be expectant and believe that God can do that. It's the condition of our heart, not the environment around us, that determines how we encounter and worship. So I was thinking, how do you think God got into the Spirit on that day? I think he just made a decision. I am going to worship God. I am going to give this time to God. And that's not very spiritual, but I think that's what happened. I've made a decision. I'm going to press in. I'm going to worship God. And so nobody is holding you back from encountering Jesus in a profound way. And I was thinking about, I wanted to do 3 D's for this. So this is my attempt to do 3 D's. Make a decision. Decide that I'm going to do that. I am going to press in to God. I'm going to make this a priority. Second D is to be disciplined, set time aside to do it. And my third D was be determined, have a vision. What do you want your worship, your prayer time to look like? Don't just, it's not just like, Hello. You know, have a vision for what you want your worship time to look like. And keep on going until you walk in it. Be determined. And it's not that you're doing it in your own strength, but have a vision for what you want, how you feel that you want your worship time, your relationship time with God to look like. You know, one of the things I read is that he didn't meditate upon his bad circumstances. And in Revelation 1, 5 to 6, Revelation 1, 5 to 6, well done, Tom. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and to the rulers of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us. So this is a guy who is in a grim place. You know, he's got a lot to complain about. Let's read what he says. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and our Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I mean, that's a beautiful, wonderful, really, there's no complaining. It's very positive, isn't it? Just giving glory and thanks to Jesus. There's no complaining there. He didn't say, oh, how bad, how difficult, how problematic, where are you? This is what he says. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and our Father. To him be glory, power forever and ever. He thought about, he was meditating. Guys, he was meditating not on his problems, but on God's love. He was meditating not on his problems, but on the goodness of Jesus. He was rejoicing that his name was written in heaven. He was grateful. He was grateful. I hope you're getting this. He was grateful. He was grateful. He was grateful. He said, even though I'm in this difficult position, I've got so much more to be thankful for. He was grateful. Why had God allowed such hardship to come to John's life? Was it because he didn't pray enough? Was it because of some hidden sin? I don't think it was any of those reasons. But you know what? I don't see that even crossed his mind. It wasn't, why is this happening to me? It was, he was so consumed with Jesus, the right image of who Jesus is. Not a false image, not a slightly lesser image. He was consumed with the right impression and the right image of who Jesus was. You know, guys, what an attitude for us to model. He trusted God. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't ask, why me? And so I want to encourage you, you know, let's adopt the attitude that he had. Focus on Jesus and worship him. John 4 verse 24 says, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. So worship, as we were hearing from Ewan, you know, it's not a place. We don't have to go to a place to worship, do we? It's not about the place that we worship from, but it's about the condition of our heart. And Jesus said, if you desire to truly worship God, you must worship him in spirit. Even in the most miserable place, like John, we can worship God. You can encounter God wherever you are. Tune in to him. John refused, and I'm just going to draw to a close now. John refused to let himself become preoccupied with his problems. There's one time in Revelation 1 verse 9 where he does, he sort of touches upon some of the challenge that he may be facing, which we read. I, John, both a brother and a companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus. So, he's saying there are some trials, there's some challenges, yet he was captivated by Jesus. Captivated by him. captivated by him. He was so preoccupied with who Jesus was. So preoccupied, captivated, in love, in wonder, in awe. Wow! I think seeing Jesus revealed like that, that glorified throne room Jesus that he encountered, certainly changed his perspective. And but I love the fact of just being so preoccupied that he didn't have time to talk about himself or even to think about his own suffering. He's preoccupied with Jesus. Wow. You are glorious. You're beautiful. You're unconquerable. There's none to compare with you. You're more than enough. When I lack and I get to the end of myself, in my weakness, your power is made perfect in me. Wow. This is more than just knowing about God. And what is good, you know, however old he was, whether he was 68 or whether he's 95, God had a mission for him. He says, write down what you have seen. It says that in verse 11. And I'm saying to you, you know, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. And so God was going to use the difficult, the challenge, the situation that he was going through to in isolation to impact the Christian church at that time, but for generations to come. What was happening in exile, in difficulty, in a place of just, you could say, absolute hopelessness. God took that and he turned it around and he used that writing and that time to be an incredible blessing to the church. And so God, this man was getting on, but God wasn't finished with him. Guys, however old you are, God's not finished with you. Do you hear me? Come on. However old you are, whatever your situation, yes, but I can't get out. God's not finished with you. Yes, but I don't have this gift. God's not finished with you. Just turn to the person beside you and say, God's not finished with you. Turn to somebody else and say, there's more to come. And just to finish, Revelation 1, verse 12, it says that there was a sound behind him. It says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. I wonder if the other prisoners heard the sound or the voice. Was it just him or was it others? But interesting that God appeared to him. And I don't know why, but God appeared to him from behind, not in front. And he turned around to see, he responded to God. How many times does God speak to us? And we're like, so interesting that when he spoke, he turned around. And he responded. So God spoke to him in a way that he needed to respond and turn around. So guys, let's position ourselves not only to hear God speak, but to be quick to respond. To turn from the direction that we are going in, and actually when we hear him speak, to turn to follow him. Sometimes that is, sometimes some of the hardest things to do is actually to turn from what we want to do, but to actually hear God's voice, respond, turn around, and be obedient to him. So how are you doing today? Have you got distracted with what the world is giving to us on a plate? Are we distracted because actually we've accepted a false impression of who Jesus is? An impression that maybe the media give to us, or other churches say who Jesus is. Actually, we need to go back and look at the wonder, the power, this Jesus that hasn't just walked upon the earth, died, and has risen. But now this is the exalted Jesus, magnificent Jesus, set in heaven, interceding for us. That's the Jesus who's on your side. That's the Jesus that says you're not a failure, that we were hearing about this morning, that you're not rejected, that you're not a nobody. That's the Jesus that speaks over you acceptance. That's the Jesus that welcomes you as part of his family. Are you going to hear those words and say, yes, that's for me? Or are you just going to say, well, no, that's for somebody else? That's just as much responding to receive as it is to, you know, go off on another direction with God. So, guys, my heart, my encouragement is, let's not forget what Jesus looks like. When we come to worship with that, a true image and impression of who Jesus is. Let's learn from John's life and encounter Jesus and position ourselves to respond and give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. I tell you, we've got a few years upon this earth to walk with him. What a privilege. And we've got a few years upon this earth to see Jesus work through us to bring transformation to a world that is lost, dying, helpless without Jesus. Let's stay sharp. Let's encourage one another. Let's not water down the gospel. Let's not compromise, but let's go for it. Let's be a church that is running hot for Jesus and seeing Jesus for who he is. Amen? Shall we stand together?
Okay, guys, we're going to worship God just as we finish off this morning. Let's use this as an opportunity just to respond to the word, whatever the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, which is ultimately Jesus, right? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. So we want to see Jesus. We want to turn to face Jesus. Actually, I wonder if we could do something this morning. Can you all turn around? Let's face that direction for a moment. Just as an act of faith, let's just close our eyes. Jesus, we want to be people that turn to see you. And God, this is what repentance is. It's to turn away from the trajectory that we have found ourselves on. And we turn back to see you, Jesus. We do a 180. And Jesus, at times you reveal yourself in strange and mysterious ways. And we have to look for you. We have to seek you. And as Jeremiah prophesied, those who seek you will find you. So we turn, Jesus, this morning. We turn away from sin. We turn away from comfort. We turn away from convenience. We turn away from distraction. We look to you, Jesus. We look to you, Jesus. Let's turn back and worship.